7:45. Live from the studios at 33rd and Bird, I'm Mike Hogan. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, my guest today, live and local, is here in town to do the Brownville Concert Series. And he has hosted NPR's series Piano Jazz, and he knows the birthday of every living human being on the planet.
No, I don't.
So it seems. John Weber joins me. John, thank you so much.
Mike Hogan, what a pleasure, man. What a blast. Thanks for having me in.
Oh, you betcha. You've got a really neat show. I've read reviews on your show, which is this weekend, by the way. It's tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 7:30, and then Sunday at 2 p.m. In Brownville. And you take everybody, they say, from Joplin to Jared, meaning, of course, Janice and Keith.
Yes.
And you take us through all these. So talk about the show. Talk about the presentation you do. It's pretty cool.
I start out with Scott Joplin, and I very quickly evolve forward, show who Joplin evolved into. And I cover Jelly Roll Morton, and then into James B. Johnson, into Fats Waller, into Earl Hines. And I show who influenced who, and what stuff stayed, and what stuff got left behind. And it ends up being, there's a whole lot of stride and a whole lot of ragtime in the beginning, and it just eventually ends up with Keith Jarrett in the 70s. And it's a fun little journey to go on. It's a solo piano. Piano used to be a big deal, and everybody had a piano in their house. So you hear a whole lot of piano music.
Sure, absolutely. In fact, kind of a full disclosure thing, I'm so old that what my family did for fun, we would borrow silent movies from the library, play them on our Super 8 projector, and we'd put on the Scott Joplin albums in the background and just let the albums play while we watched Laurel and Hardy and the Little Rascals and all those things. That's what we did on a Saturday with popcorn, of course.
That's brilliant. See, yeah. I'm so old that when I went to school, they didn't have history yet.
And you know what, folks? He's here all weekend, by the way.
There
headlining.
The
how long has it taken you to develop this show? And what changes do you make to it? How does it evolve for you?
Initially, 24 hours, because I was in Australia and somebody said, "Could you do a piano retrospective?" And I said, "Sure." And so I said, "What are you going to call it?" And I said, "Joplin to Jarrett." Boom. And then I had to build one. So then I did it. So, and I've been doing it for 20 years because it got such a good review. People seem to like it. They like to hear all these different eras of piano sort of juxtaposed one into the next. So, because they recognize things. People know more about jazz than they think. People are more jazz fans than they think. They don't realize that they're listening to it and they're making jazz all the time, even when they're speaking. So, yeah, I'd say 20 years. The New York Times reviewed it about 6 years ago. I've done it in, I'm trying to count the number of states. I think I'm up to 20 states now doing it and 8 countries.
Nice.
But it's a blast. People seem to like, people in India, I'm always astonished that people, 7-year-old kids in India, I'll say, "Okay, what is this?" And I'll start playing, do-do-do-do-do-do. And they'll say, "Oh, that's the entertainer, Scott Joplin."
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine? How did that happen? How did that enter our collective musical consciousness to the point where you can go to India and have American music recognized? That is, we are the envy of the world still because of this body of work.
Oh, that's outstanding. Very cool. As you play these pieces, are there some areas of the history of the piano music that touch you emotionally more than others?
Yeah. I mean, even the very beginning, I talk about the Maple Leaf Rag, which came out in 1899. It was the first million seller. And I'm not talking about million records because people didn't even have Victrolas then. People, if they wanted to hear music, they had to do it the old-fashioned way, which is to go out and spend their hard-earned cash on sheet music.
And
sheet
learn to music. Play
the dots.
Sure.
You know? People of modest means, coal miners, people who worked in factories who made 2 cents an hour, went out and bought sheet music so they could hear this music. They were so crazy about it. There was such an appetite for this music. It excited people. And there was really no commercial mechanism in place. The music industry as we know it today did not exist. It was so small that people just, I think it attracted a lot of people into the music business because they thought, God, millions of people are buying. They want to do the parlor trick. They want to know how to do this cool thing that makes everybody want to dance. And so, yeah, I mean, that part affects me greatly because it got people involved in music in a way that they had not been before. And it also pretty much forged the beginning of American music because everything that has come along since owes a great debt to that. It was a great event that American music happened when it happened. It evolved from being Europe Junior into something original, all right around 1899. So that part affects me greatly.
Do you play any other instruments besides the piano?
I used to play heavy metal guitar. You can guess by my vertical hair factor, my VHF, that I did play heavy metal when I was 14, 15, 16. Pardon me. And I just, I don't know. I mean, playing three chords was fine, but I outgrew the ordinary and I got interested in jazz when I was 16. Sure. And it's, I've been bitten by that bug, and that's where I've been ever
since.
Well,
and better yet, anytime somebody has a piano, you can actually show off your skills. Whereas if you walk around with a guitar all the time, then you're just a big show off. So
that's right.
John Weber, Brownville Concert Series. It's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Go to brownvilleconcertseries.com for information. John, thanks so much for coming in. Really do appreciate
it. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Morning Edition continues right now.